Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Again, the breaking news this hour. A judge has sentenced Bradley Manning to 35 years in prison for giving U.S. secrets to WikiLeaks. It was considered possible that he could get up to 60 years in prison. Manning is 25 years old. His advocates were hoping for a sentence of about 25 years, which would still leave him 50 when he would get out of prison. So the judge seems to have kind of leaned toward that direction with a little bit of leniency, if you can call 35 years lenient. So he'll be in prison until he's 60 years old. Depends on where you're coming from, right? Whether you're cheering this. Some people say Bradley Manning should get the Nobel Peace Prize. Some people think he should have been charged with treason. So Bradley Manning, 35 years in prison. And later in the program, we'll break down what the sentence means, what it means for journalism, what it means for classification of information and national security, whether there's time off or good behavior that's possible in this kind of a sentence. Remember, it's a military judge, not a civilian court. So we'll talk later in the program in more detail after our guests have had time to look at more of the details of this ruling about this Bradley Manning sentence, 35 years today from a military judge. For Time Warner cable subscribers here in New York, CBS and its premium channel Showtime have gone completely dark. The network and the cable company are currently locked in a dispute over how much TW pays for CBS programming. The blackout began on August 2nd and shows no sign of ending soon. Here to talk about this and its implications for the future of television, because this is of interest largely because of what it says about where all of TV watching is going, not just about these two companies. Brian Stelter of the New York Times covers media. He's been tuned into this story from the beginning. Brian, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
First of all, what percentage of New York households are with Time Warner to begin with? Do you know?
I don't have the exact number, but Time Warner is dominant in the five boroughs. Cablevision is much more prevalent out in the suburbs, out on Long Island or in Connecticut. But here in New York City, you don't have many options besides Time Warner Cable or, in some pockets of the city, Verizon Fios. I know in my building downtown in the West Village, I can get Fios or Time Warner Cable. But when I used to live uptown in Washington Heights, I could only get Time Warner Cable. And of course, because of the surroundings, the apartment buildings that many of us live in, it's hard to get satellite like DirecTV or Dish, which really leaves us with Time Warner Cable.
So let's cut through the PR on both sides of this. What exactly are CBS and Time Warner fighting over?
They are fighting over a couple of distinct things. One, of course, as always in these contracts, is money. CBS wants a big increase in the fees that it gets to give Time Warner Cable the right to broadcast its CBS stations across the country. In particular, in this fight, it's about New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, etc.
Well,
normally, in the past,
ahead.
You know, CBS 2 hasn't gotten WCBS here hasn't gotten a big fee, from Time Warner Cable. But increasingly, broadcast stations like WCBS say they want and need that fee in order to make up for advertising declines, but also in order to keep producing great programming. So the money is an issue. But the other issue that's kind of new in a dispute like this is rights about the internet, digital rights. Who can broadcast shows online in what ways? We've seen companies like CBS do big deals, big expensive deals with companies like Netflix to stream TV shows or Amazon to stream TV shows. Time Warner Cable says it wants more of those rights for itself as well so it can be competitive with Netflix and Amazon and all the rest.
I was talking to a friend of mine upstate earlier this summer whose local cable company had a similar dispute taking place with CBS, and after it all got resolved, Blam, the subscribers to that cable system, were paying several dollars a month more for the same service they were getting before. Is that what we can expect in New York once this is resolved?
I think rate increases are a fact of life, you know, if you're a cable subscriber. And these disputes illuminate why those rate increases keep happening. Time Warner Cable and companies like it say they try to keep these increases to a minimum. They say their hands are tied, though, because these programmers like CBS and all these big major media companies keep asking for more and more money. And they're right that the fees that the Time Warner Cable is having to pay for content keep going up. And as a result, our cable bills seem to keep going up.
These transmission fees that you were talking about before, why have they become important to old-style terrestrial broadcasters like Channel 2? In the past, didn't companies, the cable companies only pay for cable-only channels like CNN or ESPN?
That's right. That's right. You know, in the past, let's take NBC, for example. NBC wouldn't get a fee for its station directly, but it would get the rights, you know, to have some space on the cable dial for a channel like MSNBC or a channel like Bravo. Well, now they've got all of those cable channels already. They don't want any more cable channels. They're not trying to get more space on the cable dial. Now what they're trying to get is more money for their main stations. And in CBS's case, that's a station like WCBS here. CBS's argument is that it's producing better and more television than ever before. And, yeah, a lot of critics say that's true, that we're in a golden age of television with more and better options than ever before. But at some point, you might wonder if there's too much TV and if maybe we're actually all paying for too much.
Who has more leverage in these negotiations right now, Time Warner or CBS? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking if it's CBS, maybe there's a certain aspect of their program that's a big draw. Maybe it's the news, the sports, the entertainment program. Somehow I doubt people are calling up, riled up too much about the preseason Jets games, maybe if it was the Giants. But what is it?
It is CBS that has the upper hand, and typically content has the upper hand in these disputes because people blame the distributors, whether they are at fault or not, because they can't get to the content they love. We tend not to love the people that we pay, like Time Warner Cable, but we do love the programming that we get to watch. And so people end up siding with the programmers as they fight for higher and higher fees. The biggest programming this summer, a couple of shows on CBS like Under the Dome are pretty popular. They've had some golf matches as well that people have missed out on. But it really won't be until September when the NFL really kicks into gear and when new shows come back for the fall that I think we're going to see more pressure applied. Right now, these companies seem to be in a stalemate. Neither seems to feel they have to get to a deal today, tomorrow, the next day. And so as a result, there's been a lot of speculation about the fact that they won't do a deal until September, which is remarkable. It's a pretty long blackout by blackout standards.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for your questions about the CBS and Showtime blackout on Time Warner Cable and that dispute between the two companies for Brian Stelter, media reporter for the New York Times. Or if you want to call up with your workarounds, how are you getting CBS programs if you usually get them through your cable? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You laugh, Brian. Are there some common workarounds out there?
There are, and every time I'm at a party, I get cornered by people asking me about them. And even last night, I was trying to recommend to people that it's probably worth going out and buying an antenna. It's worth having an antenna anyway.
A what?
Rabbit ears. Let's call them rabbit ears.
Grandpa, you know, had one of those.
And I actually have a few of them, but I'm kind of a dork. I have a bunch of TVs at home. But rabbit ears, they're worth having anyway, you know, because of blackouts, because of, you know, maybe you don't want to have cable someday. Maybe you just want to get over-the-air signals like CBS. So the antenna is one route. Another route is a service like Aereo, which is it's at Aereo.com. It's a internet streaming service that picks up stations like CBS through a giant array of antennas that it owns and then retransmits them to you over the internet for a small fee every month. CBS says that's illegal, but so far the courts in New York have upheld Aereo, and so that's an option as well for people.
I wonder how you think, looking at the bigger picture, that disputes like this will affect consumer behavior in general when it comes to television. Will we see more cord cutting from subscribers? I have to say, I know a number of people personally who used to be cable subscribers who now get mm-hmm. all the TV that they need from the internet. You know, that won't do it for me because I watch so much news and sports. So if I can't get the mm-hmm. local sports teams, if I can't get CNN and MSNBC and Fox, which you can't get on the web, you know, that's not working for me personally. But is this where we're headed?
So far, what we're seeing is what I would call a very minimal level of cord cutting. There are people that are opting not to have cable, but they're a small vocal minority at the moment. That number may grow, but I'm with you. I think a lot of people depend and expect to have access to news and sports and cable entertainment channels that they won't be able to get any other way. And as a result, I think most people are still hooked on that bundle that we buy from the cable companies. But what we may see in the future is more competition. There's a lot of talk about Intel and Sony and Google and other companies creating a virtual cable company where you would have to buy broadband from Time Warner Cable or Verizon or someone else, but then you could pick which cable service you want. Is it a Intel-branded cable service? Is it a Sony-branded cable service? And if we had an environment like that, it would be easier to switch if there was a blackout on one of the services. You know, well, right now, I have Time Warner Cable. I can't watch CBS, but I don't want to go through the hassle of having to switch to Verizon Fios, not to mention the costs that are associated with that. In the future, hopefully, maybe it'll be easier to switch so people have more control.
Here is Vered in Manhattan with not this issue, but a related issue that is very timely today. Vered, you're on WNYC.
Yes, thank you very much. I just wanted to know, as of yesterday, Al Jazeera English was taken off the air on Time Warner, and I know now there's Al Jazeera America. Well, neither is on. There's just been a blackout on that, and I wondered why, and what can we expect?
This is something that I think a lot of people have been curious about. Al Jazeera America launched yesterday. It's the most ambitious cable news venture in 20 years. I mean, not since Fox News and MSNBC launched have we had a big new cable news channel in this country that's come out with a big investment in reporters and anchors and all of that. But it's only available in about half of the country right now. It's available on DirecTV, Dish, Comcast, but not on Time Warner, Cox, Cablevision, Charter. And that's because, as always in these sorts of situations, the cable companies say, they're just not sure enough people want to watch it, and they're not able to strike a deal right now. There are questions, though, about whether they are hostile to Al Jazeera in particular because of its Middle Eastern roots, and that's something that companies have had to defend themselves against. Time Warner Cable says it's in negotiations now with Al Jazeera to carry Al Jazeera America, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if they get a deal done pretty shortly, because New York is such an important market for Al Jazeera America to be in, and right now it's not here really at all, except for Verizon Fios. You know, back when Fox News launched almost 20 years ago, Fox News actually paid Time Warner Cable to carry it. And I wonder if Al Jazeera would actually go to that kind of desperate measure to get on in New York City. But as of now, you're right. It's not available.
Kate in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys. I'm calling because I am a Time Warner subscriber. I get their internet. That's it, though. And through my Time Warner internet, I also subscribe to Aereo. So I didn't even know that there was a blackout until I was watching Letterman on CBS a few nights ago on Aereo, and he was making jokes about it. And I thought, well, I can get it, you know, through Aereo, and I haven't found a need to get the other networks, the big cable networks, but I get the local channels, and it's great.
And there you go. And I'm almost surprised that you do get it, because I thought that one of the things that CBS was blocking was their programming, even on the web, for Time Warner Internet subscribers. Brian?
That's right. If I go to CBS.com right now with my Time Warner Cable broadband, I can't access shows that CBS has. The only way I can is if I go to, let's say, Amazon, which has a deal with CBS to carry the show Under the Dome. That's separate because CBS is getting a big chunk of change from Amazon in order to stream that show. Aereo is different because Aereo skirts around this entire framework of retransmission fees, and it doesn't exist in that world. That's of course why CBS is suing it. CBS says it's illegal, but it's been upheld in the courts, and it's expanding into other markets across the country as fast as it possibly can, because it gives people an alternative to these blackouts, and it gives people an alternative to having to pay for the entire cable bundle.
So
whether Aereo succeeds or not, there's going to be more things like it, and that's a good thing for consumers.
15 seconds. As these two companies battle each other, is this really about scarcity? Is this, you know, two forms of old media trying to survive? Of course, they're trying to make a lot of money, but also trying to survive in the digital era?
It is. They both feel vulnerable in some ways. And in the meantime, there's plenty of other things to watch. I've missed CBS less than I thought I would.
Brian Stelter, New York Times media correspondent. Thanks for coming on, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.